It's Mouthful Neat. Without the opener, it's Michelle and Jordan live in the studio. How are you doing today? I was a little surprised there not having our opener. But you know, that's technology. It is not flawless. Lots of events coming up in February. And I am delighted tonight to have a new guest and a returning guest. The returning guest is the absolutely wonderful and tireless, so tireless that I sometimes think, Nancy Wong, that you are triplets. I don't know how you do everything that you do. Nancy Wong, president of...
President
of the Redwood Empire.
Chinese Association.
Yes, and we have coming up, and it's always the third Sunday?
Right on the after Chinese New Year, we try to... depends the facility is available. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Actually, right now, we do book the next 5 years. We're pretty comfortable.
Excellent.
Yes.
So the celebration, the Lunar New Year celebration, is taking place on February 23rd at the Santa Rosa Veterans Memorial Building. It is really one of the best events of the winter, really of the year.
I think so. I'm not really bragging ourselves, but I can say we are so proud that our association put on this huge Chinese culture, celebrations program.
And I cry every time.
Yes.
And it's the lion dance when those lion costumes go on and the boys who are dancing.
And the girl too.
Girls too. Yes. Excellent. Mm-hmm, excellent. Mm-hmm. The lion youth. You suspend disbelief. You're a kid again. They make the lions come alive.
Life.
And that's when I suddenly realized that I have little tears streaming down
it's
my
true.
Cheeks.
It's true. They have a lot. You feel bonded with them. You know, mm-hmm. all the movement they have.
Mm-hmm.
And they blink the eyes to you.
The way they blink the eyes. And the way they lick their paws.
That's right. To waking up.
And shake their tail.
That's right.
It's wonderful. And it's the highlight of the evening. It's the last thing that takes place, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. The lion, we always put the last one to do the best finale.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to begin our dragon.
Mm-hmm.
You have three dragons.
Right.
The longest one is 250 feet mm-hmm. long.
And that comes just before the lion dance? Am I remembering correctly?
No, we're going to use that dragon for beginner.
Okay.
Yes, our program, entertainment,
for
after
beginning.
The dinner. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so things get started at 5:30?
Our door open 5.
At 5.
And the dinner start at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Then we hope finish. No, I think we always finish before 7. Then we have entertainment coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do have, between that time, we have a lot of booths you can visit.
Mm-hmm.
And silent auction.
Silent
raffle.
Auction raffles.
And we have an aging jewelry stand there. Then we have Henry Kaku's origami. And to
I love origami.
Yes, and the children can learn a lot of things from him.
Mm-hmm.
He will bring his wife and some students.
Mm-hmm. Also, I know Lester said, actually mm-hmm. sitting on a little shelf as I walk into my bedroom is the origami dog.
Dogs,
that I got.
That's
with a little
right.
red nose.
Then we do have the bar,
Right. No host bar.
No host. No, you buy.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have people pulling the wine and the beer for mm-hmm. you.
Are you doing, is it Lagunitas beer again?
No, Lagunitas isn't. This is a hand, another beer, local beer company.
Okay.
They support us.
Excellent.
Yes. And then we have another exciting this year. Our regular youth group selling all the soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we're adding our member. He has a martial arts studio.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, actually has a lot of our members, children's participate that. They qualify going to international competition in China in June.
Mm-hmm.
So our board decided to let them have a table to do a little bit fundraiser for them.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Uh-huh. They only host for every other year.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go compete in South Bay to mm-hmm. get a qualification
mm-hmm.
to go on this trip.
Mm-hmm. How many, do you know, how many
They do have some adult mm-hmm. to go in because they have a lot of Tai Chi and mm-hmm. Qi Gong involved. I noticed from our association, we have maybe half dozen
mm-hmm.
The youngest is 10 years old, mm-hmm. and 12, some 14, some 16.
Mm-hmm. What a great opportunity for them.
Yes.
That's really wonderful. Now, the entertainment, mm-hmm. I know that one year you had, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, so forgive me. No. Was it Guzheng?
Oh, the Guzheng, yes. We're going to have a solo Guzheng. Oh. She's from, actually learned this from San Francisco, and mm-hmm. she has a big group. Now she graduated from college, then she's coming back helping us to do the solo, and she prepared really nice, the Guzheng. And
it's a beautiful
instrument, you're
stringed
right.
Stringed instrument that it
That's
sits
right.
on mm-hmm. a stand.
That's right.
It's mesmerizing both visually and uh-huh. Sonically.
Then the dance, we have a brand new dance. They work so hard. Mm-hmm. It's a minority Tibetan dance. Mm. And the long sleeve with the hand movement and the feet movement is so difficult. I went check them, you know, for a couple of times for the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. It's a... gorgeous, the way they put a lot time mm-hmm.
yeah.
to
oh,
do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
mm-hmm.
it's really just an extravaganza
yes.
of the Chinese culture.
That's
really
that's right. Then
really
we're gonna
beautiful.
Have a teen girls. She says she gonna do the solo for ribbon dance for mm. us too. It's
oh,
also
nice.
Our actually she was gradually from the young dancer now turned to the beautiful teenager.
Oh, nice. And then of course. Everybody wants to know what is on the table for dinner.
Yes. And we have, tell you the truth, we have quite a bit, the menu. We have 8 dishes. You know, the sweet sour pork and the broccoli beef. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, fried noodles.
Fried noodles is always my favorite.
Oh, yes. And the fried rice. And then also we have 2 traditional Chinese veggies served on the Chinese New Year. One, it's a lotus root. The mm-hmm. slice really thin, stir fry with all the different vegetable. Then another one we call the, it's vegetable dish with the Chinese called the lo han zai. It's a Chinese cabbage and the mushroom mm-hmm. and the fusilli, you know, all the different vegetable and the tofu for the big, you know, vegetarian mm-hmm. people, you can have that. We have a steamed rice also. Then we have a barbecue pork.
Mm, that's
then
always so
also
good.
We have the fried chicken legs too. Uh-huh. Chinese fried chicken. So tasty. Mm. I think last year, first year we have that. So the people asking if we can continue to serve that dishes. I said yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, we
and then
do.
You always have oranges on the table.
Orange. Then we have some wonton skin right. deep fried with a sauce, mm-hmm. you know, before the dinner. Yes, orange. You have to have it. That's Chinese traditional
Absolutely. Yes.
for Chinese New Year. So we have a lot of, it's buffet, but we do have a serving people, you know.
It moves really quickly. Oh. For a buffet, it's very well organized and it
yes.
moves very, very quickly.
Because we have a people serve for you in mm-hmm. the buffet
and
table.
And you have double lines.
Five
lines?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
With all each line has all the dishes, so mm-hmm. we got a 5.
Yeah.
So we put a lot of people work on this event.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, you can tell. It's a lot of work. Now, this year is the year of the boar.
Yes.
What can people expect from that year?
Okay, the year the boar the pig. And the people, if you're born that year, this year, particularly the year the pig, it's earth pig.
Okay.
And if you're born that year, you're smart, stubborn, but hard work. They don't have too much friend, but if you have some friend, they will stick the honesty together. At the end.
So very loyal.
Very loyal. Yes.
Very loyal.
Uh-huh. I have a 2 pig in our house.
Oh.
So I know that. Mm-hmm. Smart, hard worker, and stubborn.
Stubborn. Sounds like a lot of people I know. one thing, what are the ticket prices?
The ticket we never going up. It's $25 for adult, and the children between under 10, 3 to 10 is $10. Mm-hmm. If under 3, you don't take a seat, it's free.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good price.
Yes.
It's a really
included dinner.
Yes. It's an excellent price, an evening of entertainment, and a great contribution to a really important part of the community, too.
Yes.
But then don't make the mistake that I did 1 year. Bring money with you. I had mistakenly thought that there was an ATM machine at the Vets Building, but there's one at Luther Burbank Center.
Oh, really? I'm sorry for that. But
it's okay. Yeah. But I couldn't buy a drink. So finally, somebody sitting next to me bought me a beer.
But we have a tea.
You have tea. Absolutely. Tea, you have tea. But you want money for maybe you want to buy some raffle tickets.
Yeah, raffle ticket or wine. You know.
Or wine. So, you know, bring some cash with you so that you have those options. I used to always tell people to get tickets at G&G Market, but we have them no more. So does Asia Mart on Greenville have
still,
them?
Yeah, they still have a... the ticket in Asia Mart.
Oh, excellent. And that's a great store. If you don't know Asia Mart, get to know it if you want tickets, because it's really a great Asian market. I go there they have fresh taro leaf. They just have all kinds of things you can't get hardly anywhere else.
They're so generous. You know, we have a donation, the milk from cow and clover.
Right.
So they keep all in their refrigerator.
Oh,
then
nice.
They bring in, and also they go to San Francisco buying the best orange for us.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
And then that's the best way for people to get tickets, right?
Yes. Or you can call. I have a two number here. My number is 576-0533.
576-0533.
Or 528-0912. It's another board member. She will handle the ticket, or we can have a well call for you, or, you know, mm-hmm. you can mail in your check.
But you don't sell tickets at the door. They're sold in advance.
We wish it. If you're lucky, if we don't sell it that well, you might have some ticket at the door.
But you can't guarantee
but
it.
I'm not guaranteed. Every year we do sold out.
Yeah. And if you didn't catch those numbers, you can always send me an email at catsmilk@sonic.net. I'm very easy to find. So if you need those details. And again, it is coming up on February 23rd at the Veterans Memorial Building across from the fairgrounds on Maple Street at the corner of Brookwood. Starts at 5 o'clock. I think that's what we need to tell people.
I know.
And I know that you have a million things to do. You are so busy with dragons and lions at our schools. And
yes,
I know
we visit all the different schools these past 10 days.
And I know you're doing something special next Sunday at Jacuzzi Winery.
That's correct. That's their main fundraiser for the city of Sonoma. Mm-hmm. The legacy is their one to make some kind of monument for the early immigrant Chinese people. Mm-hmm. They put so much work at the winery. This is a lot of things we learned, you know, as American Chinese living here. You know, before we only know as a lot of railroad worker here, but I didn't know that our one country has that many Chinese, early Chinese immigrant.
Yeah, I remember reading about them working at Buena Vista Winery.
Yes.
So that's actually something that I would like to do an entire episode of Mouthful about once we get a little closer to that.
They are, because they're also city Sonoma is a sister city with the Ponglai city. It's northern China. Mm. So they are really work together. Mm. They donated from China some building, but they had to put it together and the display. Yes, and because we're the only association with entertainment, and we can have, you know, provide them lion, dragon, and the cultural dance with the costume. We have a really nice costume.
Beautiful
to greeting. Yes.
So you'll be doing the dragon and the lion dances?
And the culture dance, and also the chorus going to sing in some Chinese and Americans. Also, the instrument, guzheng, is going to be...
This is all at Jacuzzi.
Jacuzzi, the 17th.
Yes. Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Well, I hope between now and then you get a little rest. you do such a wonderful job. You work so hard. We so appreciate everything. And thank you for fitting in Mouthful.
You're welcome.
And I'll see you on the 23rd. And then I'll see you back here a year from now.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Happy year of the boar.
Happy new year. Year the pig. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
And we'll be right back to talk about Bubbles and Bonbons for Bounty.
Three, four. you'll be feeling just fine. Ain't nothing quite like sitting around the house, swilling down them Kansas wine.
I don't think they're going to be serving pork soda at the Lunar New Year's Festival, but it's always good to hear a little bit of Primus, isn't it? Oh, yeah. One of these days, I'm going to get Les Claypool in here to talk about his winery. He makes some really, really good wines, and I think their annual sauerkraut festival is coming up soon. I was going to have him on, I think it was last year, and things got complicated on my end, and I didn't, but I'm going to try for this year. Because, you know, you got to celebrate sauerkraut every now and then, don't you think? So, we're shifting gears. We're going to Petaluma. Bubbles and Bonbons for Bounty. And we have with us Susie Grady, who is the Executive Director of Petaluma Bounty. We had the founder of Petaluma Bounty on just after it started.
Oh, wow.
And God, 12 years ago?
12 years ago, yeah.
I did it right.
You did.
I guessed right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's just so great to see that it is thriving. So, this event is taking place at somewhere I have wanted to visit and haven't had a chance yet. And that is Hotel Petaluma.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen photos of it. Just looks wonderful.
It's in their ballroom, and they're so generous in donating the space to us. So we hope to fill it up for this event. But hotel, you haven't been, so you
haven't been. I've just seen photographs.
Oh yeah, you
it
need
looks
to go.
So
in there.
Wonderful.
The lobby, everything has been redone, and it's really classy and nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. They did a great job.
So the event is taking place on Valentine's Day. So don't complain about not having anything to do. You don't need a date.
No date necessary.
You can just go. So tell us about the event.
Yeah. So it's more of a jazz concert and reception than it is necessarily like a dinner. There won't be any food, but it's a concert by Bonnie Brooks and John Simon. So they'll be doing a couple of sets of jazz and piano. And then we'll be serving different types of bubbly. So not champagne. You're not supposed to say that, right? If it's not from there.
No, you can't put it on a label.
Right.
Everyone knows what you mean.
Okay. So, yeah, sparkling wine and champagne, as well as kombucha and other bubbly drinks. And then we'll be serving different desserts, mm-hmm. chocolatey-themed desserts, as well as some cheesecake and other delicacies for mm-hmm. people. So if you do want to go out to eat, you could go someplace in downtown Petaluma and then mm-hmm. come over to the Hotel Petaluma for some dessert and great music.
Starts at 6:30, continues until 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're welcome to stop by at any time. Mm-hmm.
You could even have dessert first and go out to dinner after.
I mean, that's kind of my style too, right? You got to start with dessert. And yeah, tickets are on a sliding scale, which means that they start at $35, go upwards beyond $75. If you have the money, we would love for you to be
sure,
able
it's
to
a donation to
donate
the mm-hmm. work of Petaluma Bounty.
Exactly. But all tickets get you all the same entrance mm-hmm. and great food. And yeah, it's just going to be a lovely evening and a way for those of us who aren't normally so Valentine's-y to go out and have a good evening yeah. together.
Are you encouraging any particular style of dress?
No, not necessary. I personally am looking forward to dressing up a little bit.
Yeah, I think a beautiful hotel ballroom.
Yeah.
Dress up.
Right, exactly. I may still wear my cowgirl boots, but
that's okay.
You know,
They look good with ruffles and lace
yeah,
and all
exactly.
kinds of things.
Yeah, and people are welcome to dance or not. It's mm-hmm. it's pretty low key that way, but just asking folks to come out and have a good time on mm-hmm. to benefit Petaluma Bounty mm-hmm. and our community farm.
Excellent. Why don't you tell us, for people who don't know or just people who need to get caught up on what Petaluma Bounty is doing now.
Sure. So we consider ourselves a community food security project. We have an educational production farm close to downtown Petaluma. It's about an acre in production. And we about half of that produce goes to low-income folks, either through discounted prices or free donated to other initiatives. We have a sliding scale farm stand in CSA. One is located at the Petaluma Health Center. We call it the pharmacy with an F.
Mm-hmm. And is that on McDowell?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have a food recovery program, the Bounty Hunters, still going strong, where we receive requests from community members for produce. We go out and harvest it, or we collect it from people who have extra, and then we send it to our local emergency food pantries and shelters, including Cots Kitchen, Pep Housing, the Interfaith Pantry. Mm-hmm. And then we're still in the background supporting community gardens and making sure that they can exist on city property. So we directly support three community gardens, and we run something called Farmers Market Life, which is local incentive for food and economy. Excuse me, it's a market match program. So it's for anyone that's on CalFresh. They can use their CalFresh and get a dollar for dollar match, an incentive to mm-hmm. to buy local fruits and vegetables at participating farmers markets.
So basically, the way that works, my understanding is, you give a dollar of your CalFresh, which mm-hmm. is what food stamps are called now, and you get back $2 in market bucks. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. yeah. So that's more people need to know about that. It is such a great program.
Yeah, it's slowly catching on. We are able to distribute over $100,000 last year through of CalFresh and incentives to low-income consumers who then used it to purchase food from local farmers. And so that money's staying in our community.
It's really a great program. And every now and then I see people using that at one of the markets that, you know, I attend regularly. And I'm so grateful that there are people working hard to make that happen, because there's a lot of paperwork involved, isn't there?
There's some paperwork and administration, mm-hmm. yeah. And we have 15 different farmers markets here in Sonoma County and Marin that are participating in mm-hmm. this initiative. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a nationwide program at this time. And thanks to our local community farmers markets for doing that extra work to make it more accessible to low-income customers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a work of passion for everyone.
How does the CSA program work now?
At the Bounty Farm?
Uh-huh.
So right now, 100% of our customers are self-identified as low income or are on CalFresh okay. or food stamps. Mm-hmm. And we work with community members. We'll accept our CSA members open that up in probably April or May. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a normal, about a 20-week season, and people are able to pay weekly. That's how it's a little bit different than a traditional CSA, mm-hmm. where people had to pay up front. But we're trying to make it more accessible and affordable to mm-hmm. folks on limited incomes. So they pay weekly. We do a deposit. So they pay kind of one bag in advance, mm-hmm. and if for any reason they can't pick it up, then we utilize that deposit to cover the farm's costs.
Uh-huh.
But so the retail cost of the bags are $22, and the reduced price is $15.40 for anyone who self-identifies as low income and needing a break on the price of their produce. And the CalFresh price is 50% of that, so it's $11.
Oh, what a great deal.
Yeah. And so the only way we're able to do this, though, is by fundraisers and benefits like mm-hmm. this one coming up, where mm-hmm. we collect a pool of money that then subsidizes that for mm-hmm. the low-income consumer.
Uh-huh.
And then, they get a weekly bag of farm fresh produce throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And for some of our customers, they said, you know, this has been what helped bridge them during whether they lost a job or had a life change, and helped them continue to have access to healthy produce mm-hmm. Through that stressful time. And then the most amazing thing for me is when people then no longer need that, they often keep coming back as customers and then support our farm stand as a regular retail customer.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's just great. We're going to take a little musical break and we'll be right back.
Chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees. Chicken in the pots, the mother walk the Petaloomies. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken Petaluma, never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Norman Greenbaum taking us to Petaluma, Bubbles and Bonbons for Bounty. It's a benefit concert by Bonnie Brooks and John Simon. It is taking place on Valentine's Day. You know, have dinner at home first and then go, or have dinner at home afterwards. It's one of the worst nights. I'm sorry, restaurants. I love you all, but it's a really difficult night to go out to dinner. It's like, don't go out to brunch on Mother's Day.
Right.
Don't go to a bar on St. Patrick's Day. Don't go to a restaurant on Valentine's Day.
That's funny.
I worked in the restaurant business for a long time, and that's what a lot of people in the business say about it. It can be a challenging time. Mm-hmm. So, but this is taking place. It's a great option. If you want to go out, you don't have to have a date. Dress up, put on a hat, put on some shiny gloves and some high heels, and
whatever you feel like.
Have a good time.
Yeah,
but what we're doing for the next bit of Mouthful, we're going to talk more about Petaluma Bounty and the farm. One thing I'm curious about is what is going on at the farm right now.
Right now, it's pretty slow. I actually spent all of yesterday in the greenhouse.
I think it's kind of soggy right now.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of underwater.
Yeah.
And, you know, our cover crop is growing pretty well in the field.
What do you use for cover?
We use the plow down mix. So it's, let's see, it's oats, vetch, bell beans, and sweet peas.
Okay.
And that's about it. Yeah. And so we seeded probably a little later than we should have in November. And we have some good stands in some parts of our fields that are, you know, underwater. So we'll have to reseed as soon as we can get the seeds out there and not sink in the mud. So that's to feed the microorganisms, as you know, in our soil.
It fix nitrogen and that sort of thing.
Exactly. And so it's also a great cover so that there isn't erosion happening with all of this rain. Soil is covered. And then the idea being that we'll mow it down when we can get in the fields, which might be more like mid-April. And then we'll till it in and have the soil do its magic and make those nutrients available to the plants we grow. And that'll probably happen probably like in July or so. But anywho, yesterday we were planting or seeding peppers, hot peppers. I call them the specialty peppers, the not quite hot or sweet, you know, frying peppers, et cetera.
So the Jimmy Nardello?
Jimmy Nardello.
Those are so good.
Yeah.
Patrons.
Exactly. Shishitos. And trying a few different ones this year. I'm not going to pull up all the variety names in my mind, but I think we'll probably grow around, I don't know, at least 20 different types of peppers. And I'm also seeding for our plant sale, which happens every April.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you guys had a plant. I've forgotten that you had a plant sale.
That's okay. Yeah. So,
and does that take place at the farm?
At the farm, correct. Okay. Yeah. It's a 1-day event. It'll be April 14th this year. And we also will accept CalFresh for the plant sale as well.
Oh,
people can
nice.
Use CalFresh or food stamps for their own edible plants if they have a garden space. And so, a 1-day event. This week, we'll also be seeding our tomatoes and eggplants. So it's all about the Solanaceae, all about mat heat, having the heat underneath.
Germinate. That's what you do. You have mats underneath.
Exactly. Yeah. So before I was here, I was texting with a housemate asking if she could close up the greenhouse and plug in the mats. But
Tell me about the mats. What are they, like thin heating pads?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what they are. And we put a layer of cardboard underneath them to kind of insulate it just a bit because our tables are wire mesh. And they just keep the soil at around, I don't know, maybe around 85 degrees, which is perfect for those tomatoes and peppers. And so regardless of how the temperature dips, you know, It'll be plenty warm for them.
Right. And then they'll go into the ground in June?
Yeah.
May?
May? Most likely. Again, it depends on
how late
it rains.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so we are pushing ourselves to have plants earlier this year because as soon as the gardeners see the sun come out, right, they start wanting to buy their plants. And so April 14th is the earliest I think that we can get our plants ready for the sale. And the funny thing with our soil, our clay soil, we'll get our plants in later than most gardeners who have raised beds. Uh-huh. So gardeners will
generally... And you plant directly into...
Exactly.
Do you have any problem with pests, gophers or anything?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Not as badly as other places. We're right on the... If you look at the soil map, we're right on the line. We have adobe clay soil on our farm, and then we start to have some loam. But West Petaluma has sandy loam, and those folks have a lot more trouble with gophers.
Yeah, sandy loam is what they like.
Gophers, I think, are like, as soon as they get into the clay, you know, it's not very fun for them at all to maneuver through it. So we trap, you know, like everyone else, but we... Knock on wood, haven't had that much trouble with the gophers. But we have insect pressure. We're starting to be like a kind of a green oasis as Petaluma develops around us. And so that means in some ways we have greater pest pressure. In other ways, we have less pest pressure of anything that would thrive perhaps in the grassland that's around us. So it's just a mixed bag.
And then we should tell people where exactly the farm is, and when the farm stand opens.
Okay, so we're located at 55 Shasta Avenue, which is less than a mile from downtown. I don't know if you've ever been to our farm, but it's tucked away. It's like a hidden secret. And so if you head north on Petaluma Boulevard, it's on Shasta Avenue, which is right by the new acre, the old Lucky's, across the street from the police department.
Okay.
So yeah, starting to get Craig's Warehouse, Party Warehouse. Yeah. These are all kind of little signs and symbols. And it's behind the apartment complex that went in a couple of years ago. And we're just farming there. It's a 3-acre parcel or multiple parcels. And we have an acre in row crop production and then about 2/10 of an acre of an orchard.
Oh, what are you growing in the orchard?
Apples. We have some pears, but they're having a hard time. We can talk about that later if you want.
Okay.
Plums, pluots, peaches. And,
oh, nice.
We have two apricot trees that have only fruited once, so they might need to go. They're taking up a lot of space and not really pulling their weight.
Do you know why they're not fruiting?
I think they're not the right variety for this area, and I think they might flower just a little too soon, and they get hit with the later rains.
Later rains, yeah.
And so it just knocks the fruit set off.
They seem so apricots seem so fragile.
I know. Well, it's the funny thing is you'll run into a tree that someone's planted in their front yard, and it's just loaded with fruit, right? And it's just like the right microclimate, the right variety, but... Yeah, so ours might need to turn into like campfire wood or something. And then we'll replace them with something else that's more productive.
Right. What's the problem? What's happening with the pears?
We have been hit by a blight that a lot of other people have been hit by here in Sonoma County. I've heard from Cooperative Extension that it's just perhaps a changing climate that has made the pears more susceptible, or there's a particularly virulent blight that came through, and it we've had to cut back most of our pear trees, and a lot of them are growing back from stumps. And so we had one row of our orchard that was heavily impacted. And I've been told by some orchardists and by Cooperative Extension that either we'll find a variety that's resistant to this strain, or we just won't have a lot of pears left in Sonoma County.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's been commercially grown here for a long time.
No, it hasn't. More come from Lake County.
Right. But it is sad for gardeners and those of us who are trying to provide a wide array of fruit for our customers and CSA members. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bummer, but it's, you know, life continues to happen, and we just try to respond as best as we can and then find something else that will thrive in this area.
Yeah, and it's nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, you shouldn't beat it into submission.
Exactly.
You have to let it it talk to you, I guess you could say. Yeah. Tell me about the community gardens and sure. where they are and how those function.
Yeah. If I could say one last thing about our orchard.
Oh, of course.
We've been looking for someone to partner with to potentially have a chicken operation in our orchard to naturally mow the grass as well as interrupt some of the pest cycles.
Oh, what a great idea.
I haven't wanted to take that project on ourselves because that would sign up our staff for even more time on the farm. I want to make sure they get a couple of days off. But if we could find like a 4-H person or someone who wants to have that project and mm-hmm. and be kind of the main coordinator, we would love to have chickens on our farm, and the person would be
and then
welcome
you would have
to
eggs.
Sell the eggs at our mm-hmm. outlets. Yeah. So
that's anyone, a great idea. I mean, the more chickens, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I love chickens.
They're fantastic, and we need that rotation.
Yeah. They're better. You can just sit and watch chickens forever, and they do so much good for the land.
Right. And they would have access to a lot of extra greens from our veggie mm-hmm. operation. So, yeah.
I'll put on my thinking cap.
Okay.
See if I come up with anything. If I do, I'll tell you.
Thank you. Yeah. Anywho, so to the community gardens. So in Petaluma, I believe there's 8 different community gardens, and there is no like main network of community gardens.
In Petaluma, there's 8?
I believe so.
That's fabulous.
They're hiding out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of folks maybe that run their gardens don't necessarily want them to be known. You mm-hmm. know, they're not looking to get new members. But I know there's Arroyo Community Garden. These are on the east side. There's Sunrise Community Garden, and there's also one that's kind of defunct. It's La Tercera Community Garden. That's another like plug I'll put in, is that we would love some community champions that want to rekindle that fire at La Tercera. Leadership just kind of the folks kind of retired, moved away, or for whatever reason, it stopped working. And so it's a bit dormant right mm-hmm. now. And then on the west side, there's a community garden around the City Hall building. Mm-hmm. And let's see, where else is there? I think that's it on the west side. There's some in the southern Petaluma as well.
I know when I'm driving to Petaluma, headed south on Petaluma Boulevard North, I see a sign that I think says community garden. Hmm. I can't remember exactly where it is.
It's not on McDowell? It's not the Sunrise?
Not on McDowell. Okay. It's when I'm on Petaluma Hill.
Petaluma Hill Road.
Yeah, because I go down Stony Point okay. and then I turn and go into town that way.
Hmm.
Just seems like I see a sign, and it's always when I can't, it's always the wrong time.
Sure. Yeah, it is
at night or off season. I think one of these days I have to check that out.
Yeah. Let me know.
I will.
I
definitely will do that.
We want to support our gardeners and make sure that they know that there's resources available.
What sort
them.
Of resources do you offer?
So we have, whenever we have extra plants, we mm-hmm. send that out to our network of community and school gardens. Mm-hmm. And then we share when we have extra mulch or other mm-hmm. Offers of donations. And then also just trying to share knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, master gardeners wanting to do workshops or provide free consulting, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So
if someone's having a problem.
Correct.
You're one of the resources that we are they can reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And so also for the community gardens on city property, Petaluma Bounty provides the liability insurance as well as is kind of the intermediary between the city and the gardens. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start collecting the rental fees, et cetera, and then turn that into the city. Because that was something that wasn't really happening, and we're trying to get everyone on a payment schedule.
That's right. You would have to have insurance, mm-hmm.
yes.
that sort of thing. Yep. All those things that I hate thinking about.
Right. You need that backbone organization.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're happy to provide that at this time so that these gardens can stay open. Mm-hmm. It's an important thing.
Do the people who work on the community gardens, I've always assumed that they're just a group of neighbors
mm-hmm.
who, you know, they have a plot of land there and mm-hmm. they figure out, they ask permission to use it, and then they all sort of pitch in, and then they all share the harvest. Is that pretty much how it works?
No.
Not
each
at all.
Each garden has a different story how it came to be and how they share duties or don't share duties. Mm-hmm. And a lot of gardeners may not know other gardeners within the same plot of land. They just go in and do their own thing. Oh. Or they track their hours, their communal work hours, and don't necessarily do that much community building within the garden. Some are very active, and mm-hmm. It just depends on the community. Mm-hmm. I think each has its own flavor.
You know, there's a really beautiful community garden up in Sea Ranch.
Mm.
Don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm-mm.
I'll send you a link.
Okay.
I'm going to be optimistic and say I bet it's still there.
Okay.
It's very hard to find. You know, and you have to have to go to park anywhere in the Sea Ranch community, you have to have a parking pass. If you don't have a residency sticker. And couple of people who worked at the garden took me there, and I could never find my way back. I would have to have somebody take me there again. But you go and you park, and then you walk through a wood.
Mm.
Walk through the woods,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly there's this beautiful gate that they built, and it says, visitors welcome, but pick not.
There you have it.
And there are beautiful raised beds. They mm-hmm. built a little house, and the last time I was there, they had bunches of onions and garlic were drying. They had beautiful raspberries. It was really big.
Wow.
I mean, big.
Yeah.
Big compared to what?
Right.
It was bigger than most community gardens that I've seen, I guess I'll put it that way.
Okay.
And people had obviously spent a lot of time. And it's a gorgeous space. I did a story about it when Savor Magazine was still publishing.
Wow.
And they published a cookbook.
Oh, I'm going to have to look for it.
I will find it for you.
Okay.
I may have a couple copies. If I have two copies, you can borrow mine. They just got recipes from all their members.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's just a great... So that was my introduction to mm-hmm. community gardens. And so I've sort of thought of them all in that way. But of course, it makes sense that people just do their... Some people grow their little patch of garlic, I guess. Some people
grow
flowers.
It runs a gamut. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, so we were involved in helping develop 8 different community gardens. Mm-hmm. That's why that number came to mind, actually, across Petaluma. And we, Petaluma Bounty, focused on areas where there's high density housing, apartment buildings,
mm-hmm.
To make sure that apartment dwellers have access to garden space. Because, of course, if you have your own house and backyard, you have plenty of space to mm-hmm. garden. But if you live in a place where you don't even have a patio, it gets a lot harder to provide your own food.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that we were really focused on in the beginning. And mm-hmm. Grayson, the person who you met, was emphasizing.
That's his name.
Grayson James, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for mentioning his name. I was trying to think of it, and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Petaluma Bounty and the farm, because there was one question I wanted to ask you, and I forgot. During the big season,
mm-hmm.
do you still attend the farmer's market?
We do.
You do.
Saturday.
Yes.
Walnut Park.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
We do. Yeah. And that's a great
market. It's a great market. I love that market.
Been around for a long time.
Yes.
And it's still 2:30 to 5 mm-hmm. is when it is Saturday afternoon. And that's where I got my start here in Petaluma, is selling at the Saturday market for Petaluma Bounty.
I probably bought things from you.
I think you did. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And you guys, one of the things you do is you grow flowers.
We do.
One of the other things you... Yes.
We have a great group of volunteers that are growing flowers for us right now. And they do the bouquets. And
yes. Amazing. I love the bouquets. I've bought several from Petaluma Bounty. I really love that.
Nice.
We're going to take another really quick musical break here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Satisfied with you have done. arithmetic, and a dog that tells you fortune.
Elvis Costello, Uncomplicated. Don't expect blood on the 14th, but expect chocolate. That's why I played that song. Time flies on Mouthful, so we've just got a couple of minutes. One of the things Petaluma Bounty has been doing is post-fire
work. Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so we have been working with researchers from UC Cooperative Extension around food safety. Post-fires, to find out what was in the smoke, did it impact the safety of the produce during the event, and also for gardeners that were concerned. And so I'm not going to try to encapsulate everything that we found, except to say that for the most part, the samples that we took and the tests that we did, everything seems to be within safe levels.
Okay.
But there's a lot more information at UC Cooperative Extension Sonoma County related to fire safety, produce and fire safety.
I'm hoping sometime in the next few weeks to do an entire segment. I met a man, he was my Uber driver, who works for the water agency, I guess.
Okay.
He's Native American, and he knows so much about the terrain from far north of here down to past Monterey and the history of fires, the history of water movement going back hundreds of years. And it was the most fascinating conversation. So I'm talking with him and I wanted to get, I feel like I need to know a little bit more. You would be a great person to join us on that episode. I will let you know when we're going to do that.
Okay. Or I'd be happy to share, contacts. But so there's a network of people that are doing research on all different parts of it. And another piece of it, too, is emergency food response during a crisis. Mm-hmm. And so myself and a few other people convened 30 leaders that provided food during the fires and after the fires to our community. And we wrote a comprehensive report and suggestions of how to make food distribution go better during an emergency. And so that's also available.
That's excellent.
Online. And so these are just some of the different ways that we at the Bounty are doing work, not just locally, but at the county level and even at the state
regionally.
Yeah, to bring focus on food security and what that means, mm-hmm. and how it's actually not that much different if you're in a fire like we had crisis, mm-hmm. or if your family is food insecure.
Right.
Oftentimes we're relying upon some of the same resources. So how do we make those resources work better for our local food system and all of the stakeholders so that we're promoting our small scale farmers, just like they donated so much of their produce during the fire events mm-hmm. for our community.
Thank you so much for taking time to come down on a Sunday. You are so wonderfully articulate.
And oh, thank you.
I love what you're doing. I learned a lot this last hour. I've known about Petaluma Bounty, but some of the newer things that you're doing, I'm just really grateful. And I hope that this conversation has inspired you to think about going on Thursday. The tickets are $35 to $75 or even more if you have it. Sliding scale, bubbles and bonbons for Bounty at the lovely Hotel Petaluma. 6:30 to 9:30, dress up or dress down if that's what you prefer. And is it petalumabounty.org?
Correct.
So I assume you can get all this information on the website.
Definitely.
Well, I hope you have a fabulous event.
Thank you.
And I look forward to connecting with you again sometime soon.
Thanks for the opportunity tonight.
You bet. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Mouthful. Have a great week and meet me back here next Sunday for another yummy episode of Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond.
Selling out, who can blame them?